Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 91 for April 24th, 2018. I got the date right this time. With us tonight, we've got Killer Frog Emeritus Wes Phelan. How are you doing, Wes?
Sean, I'm doing good.
So show everybody your... There you go. Wes has cut his hair down. You took a weed whacker to that thing.
Yes, well, actually, I sat in the backyard. My wife took sheep shears to me.
Ah. So,
and I actually went and got a haircut Saturday. She didn't think it took off enough. So she said, okay, it's my turn. I didn't have to tip her either. So, you know, I just... there was a lot of snow in the backyard. Let's put it like that. So once she pushed to cut it, so.
You still have more hair than me, Wes.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Wise man. Wise man.
What I'm told is that the rest of it will fall out eventually. So.
Well, we also have Shannon Brazil with us tonight, live from Vegas.
How you doing, Shannon? Vegas. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Glad to be on. She had a pretty hotel behind me.
It's nice.
Rather be in my bed, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather see my little domain back at the house. I've been here long enough.
Oh, you'd rather be at the buffet right now. That's where you'd rather be.
That too, but it's $50 all you can eat. I just like, eh.
50? Are you serious?
I'm like, yeah, well, here, where I'm at, the Wynn or whatever, I'm like, what happened to the old buffets on the other side of town where, you know, it doesn't look quite like the Strip, but you can pay $15 and get after it.
Yeah, like I remember going to whatever. My first trip there back in, oh God, when I was in college, we went to the $6.99 all the steak you can eat buffet.
Yeah.
And $1.99 for breakfast and at Circus, if I remember correctly. And it was good. But I was telling somebody the other day, I'm standing there at a 21 or 20 year old, you know, slow minded college boy, and this girl walks up and says, hey, you want a date? And I thought, like a movie? She goes, no. You know, so, and it went, oh, I get it. No, ma'am, thank you. So,
yeah, no doubt. Well, just so you know, they're still doing it out there. You got to be careful. You got to.
Yeah, I know. It's a wild play.
You know?
Yeah, we were. The last time I was in Vegas, I was consulting with a distillery, and I was part of a trade show down there. Real big kind of high roller whiskey show. And I was just repping the brand. And right afterwards I had to kind of babysit the head distiller. Cause he had narcolepsy and just needed somebody to kind of watch him. Cause we had like a red eye out early in the morning. And if he fell asleep, you just weren't going to be able to wake him up and we're going to miss our flight. So we're just basically walking around down in the MGM. And I swear we were approached by about a dozen or so of these ladies over the course of like 3 hours. It was insane. It was like,
right.
Like what the hell? So yeah, you got to be careful when you're in Vegas.
Yes, you do.
That's right.
Yeah. But Shannon's doing it right. He's in his room.
I'm in the room. I'm telling you, I've been here plenty of time to know the rules.
Yeah. And your wife would kill you if you were outside of that room right now.
That's true. Yeah. She'd chase after you with those sheep shears that Wes just got taken down with.
And Clara to help her out. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, we've got a short broadcast tonight. It looks like we did have a special guest lined up, and he may still pop in here.
He's trying to walk out, but I don't know if I can help him or not. But
all right. Well, if he gets on, great. We'll have a nice discussion with him. But in the meantime, we do have a couple of news items we want to go over. We'll start off with the. Let's talk with tennis. They just finished an undefeated Big 12 slate. They are now number 6 in the nation. And Wes, we were talking about this last week. We had the Roditi had the open bar out there.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard that. I didn't get a chance to get out there over the weekend, but I heard the atmosphere. Ryan did. The atmosphere was just unreal.
I have heard. Now I'm ashamed to admit I've been to one tennis match, and I used to live within walking distance over there. But it was fun. It's a little raucous, you know. They kind of cut the crowd loose to have the yell and support your team, which is great. It's not the old country club atmosphere where you give polite little claps and
right.
Everybody wears white. You know, you go out there, and you have a ball, and Roditi brings in pizza. I guess the open bar. I mean, gosh, I'd go to a tennis match for an open bar. Who wouldn't?
No doubt.
And but you know, it's and certainly that's paying big dividends. But he's a hell of a coach, you know, and he's got some great talent on there. And you got to ask yourself, will this maybe be the year? I think we've made the Final Four in tennis, what, the past couple of years?
Yeah.
Will this be the year we do it? And I don't know who teams ranked 1 through 5 are right now, but number 6 isn't bad. And, you know, Cameron Norrie last year was our top guy, and he's in the pros now. But Alex Rybakov, I guess, is kind of the leader of that group, and he's having a pretty good year. So, I mean, this – he could have all the pieces in place. Time will tell, but it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, Alex, I think, is ranked number 19 right now in the nation. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, he's
pretty
just
good.
Oh, we've got players ranked. Let's see, I think we got 4 or 5 players ranked in the top 100. So, I mean, this team is on fire. This is a 12th straight win that capped an undefeated Big 12 slate for this team.
Yeah.
That is really, really good.
That is really good. And we picked off the teams that you want to pick off. Texas, Baylor, Tech, you know, yep. Got them all.
And, well, that capped we earned the number 1 seed going into the Big 12 Conference Championship and a first round bye. So the next time we play is going to be on Saturday in Austin. So that's going to be interesting to see how things go through the championship.
Maybe I can talk my wife into driving me down there.
Well, you know, you're a lot closer to Austin than you are to
Fort Worth right now. I know. I'll be there tomorrow for another doctor appointment, but you know, that's my life these days.
Speaking of which, Wes, what you want to give the viewers a little bit of an update on how you're doing?
Well, I've just last week completed my first week of radiation.
Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. In about another 20 minutes, I'm going to take this pill here, which is my chemotherapy pill. I'm on my second week of that. So far it's really been pretty good. I can't complain. I warned y'all last week, I take an nausea pill 30 minutes before I take this. And I think I told y'all, I said, if I get up and leave the room suddenly, you'll know why. And after I took this big bomb, a few minutes later, I thought, oh, I've just swallowed an atom bomb. Oh, here it comes. But it never came. And I really have any problem. I've tolerated it pretty well. Radiation takes 5 minutes, literally.
That's
because they only give you 5 minutes of the beam, at least in my case. You're wearing I think I showed you all the picture of this thing I have to wear during it. It's a real rigid mask. It kind of covers my face and chin. Shan, you think your chin straps lock you in tight? You wait till you try this thing, pal. And then at the back of it, if I showed you the picture right now, you couldn't see the whole thing because there's just this rooster tail coming off the back. It's got an iron bar in it. And they lock that bar in at the back of the table. So you are in there rigidly. You cannot move. And this thing floats over your head. And there are these two screens that come around you. And then this thing floats over your head. And all of a sudden you see this aperture open up and there's the beam, you know, and you don't see it, you know, but it's there, it's live. And all the techs leave the room when that thing's open, you know. So they're taking those lead line aprons and getting the hell out of there, and I'm sitting there by myself with that thing. So anyway, but you're only in there 5 minutes, and I'm holding this dog toy right like that just to keep my arms in a proper position. So it really is a dog toy. It looks like a donut. You can squeeze it, and it'll squeak and everything. So that's what.
Is it one squeak for your okay? Two squeaks if you need help.
Well, there's a camera directly over my head, so if I get in trouble or think I need something, you know,
blink
I can,
like a hostage.
Yeah, blink like last week. Just as soon as they started, my eyes started watering, so I was going like that, and she said, "Don't do that. You're going to radiate your hands." You know, I said, "All right." You know, so you know,
as opposed to just your entire head.
Yeah. So I got a friend of mine. Actually, I took a picture of my hand, sent it to my friend. He's going to wrote. Photoshop them glowing, and I'm going to send them back and say, look, it did it. You know, so anyway, but so far it's going pretty good. You know, I what really humbles me is I walk into that waiting room with all those really sick people. I mean, you can see them, right. And it saddens you. And I almost feel guilty for feeling so good right now. That may change. It probably will. But right now I feel pretty good. But, you know, it's just, it's like I said, it's humbling to see some really sick people in there and know that what they're going through, probably a lot worse than I am. So I'm very grateful for how it's going so far. And knock on wood, it continues.
Well, keep your head up. You'll be ringing that bell before you know it.
That's my goal, pal. Looks like we got a visitor here.
Yeah. Speaking of ringing the bell, I just heard the entrance bell. We got Brashant Carter in the room. How you doing?
I'm doing great, General. How you guys are doing? You got to tell, am I doing this right? I don't know if I'm doing everything right. I couldn't get my laptop. Couldn't get my girl to get the laptop set up, so I'm doing it from my phone.
No, you're doing great.
Looks okay. Good to me.
Okay.
Mr. Carter, for those of you who are watching, was a member of the Flying Frogs back in the 90s and is now, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, newly inducted into the TCU Hall of Fame.
I had the pleasure. That's good stuff. I had the pleasure. I've been on the board for 9+ years now, and it's good to see when the first year, well, football season and all season comes up, we get to start talking about the voting of the next class, and we were able to do that on last week, and to see some of the names on the list, especially when you play with these guys. Obviously, I didn't run track with Brashant, but he is my frat brother. And so to see these guys go in, you're just ecstatic for them. You're happy for them. All you can do is vote. You don't know what the rest of the room is going to do. So all I can do is cast my vote. It's not like I have anything to do with the other guys' votes. But when the ballot is read and, you know, three of the guys you played with and, you know, another fellow linebacker gets in, it's awesome. So it's I wanted to have him on, and I know he's excited. And I know he don't know this, but he jumped the gun social media. So I called Blackwell. I'm like, Blackwell, was he supposed to tell everybody yet? He's like, no, we got to alert everybody. I said, well, I didn't tell him. Johnny Collins told him. So whatever happened, blame it on Johnny.
I didn't leak it. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
I'm proud of my man. I'm excited. I can't wait to do some frat things with him and celebrate with him and his family, and definitely can't wait to get him to the game so we can have some fun.
That's incredible. Congratulations, Brashant. I mean, that's a heck of an honor. It really is. At TCU, that's Hall of Fame is a big deal and well-deserved. Well, now, what was your specialty when you ran track?
Well, my specialty was the 200. So I did all the sprints for 100, 200, 4x1, 4x2, 4x4. But my main thing was the 200 meter. That's where I was a three-time conference winner for the Southwest Conference in the 200 meter.
Man, I couldn't even walk 200 meters right now. But that's now. Did you run for Coach Thornton back then?
Or yeah. Bubba Thornton was my coach. I was also on the football team. So I got there in '92. But track and field, I was there from 93 to 96. Okay. So from 93, 94, 95, Bubba Thornton was my coach. And then in 96, after we won the national championship in the 4x1 in 95, and then I guess coach was like, hey, I got you guys a national championship, I'm gone. So he ended up going to UT and being the head coach there for, you know, for quite some time. And then I ended up getting Money Stratton from UTA. He was my coach my senior year, my last year.
That was back in the days, that infamous, was it a six-lane track or whatever it was? It wasn't even big enough to hold a certified meet on, if I remember correctly.
What's that, UTA?
No, at TCU, the old track.
We just went out there to practice that. Yeah, it didn't have no type of yeah, it was just out there. And that was, truth be told, that was the one reason that Coach Thorne left, because he wanted a major track at TCU. And for whatever reason, they wouldn't, they wouldn't give him one. So, I mean, you know, you got everything for him at Texas. So, I mean, you know, I couldn't be mad at him for, you know, taking the opportunity. So, I guess after he left, he saw that people was like, okay, yeah, maybe we do need to get a track up at TCU.
Yeah, I mean, I could go into my whole diatribe about why that happened. But, you know, and I understand exactly what you say about why he left. Because they didn't give him facilities, didn't give him any help at all.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to go into that because that's another show for another time. But, and I've already made that statement many times. But yeah, I remember reading a story about that. When they laid that artificial surface on that track, they didn't grade it properly, and there were still stones and pebbles under there that you could feel.
Right.
And it wasn't it wasn't even a good practice facility. You could work up a sweat there, but you couldn't really do a good practice. But to accomplish what you guys accomplished on that facility, which, let's face it, was a piece of crap, you know, it was pretty darn amazing.
Make us faster.
Made them faster,
Definitely.
We football team, we ran our 40s on there. That's about it.
God.
How bad was that track?
it was bad, like I said, but I mean, you know, if being that that's all we had, I mean, you know, that's all we were used to. I mean, you know, you get to the meets and you bouncing around like, oh man, that's a good track. We about to run on this. And, you know, but as far as just the practice, man, it was just about, you know, just getting the work in as far as the 100s, the 200s, 110s, 500s that coach used to make us do. I mean, you know, it wasn't really far as just looking at us better. He just wanted to speed. He knew we was good, but you know, we just had to practice what we had on. So it wasn't that great, but we made it do what it, you know, made it do what it do.
And you had the track team back then had no field events. Is that correct? I think you might have had a through shot putter and some, maybe a discus guy, but you didn't really have long jumps.
Truth be told. So like I said, I ran track, play football and ran track. So when I got there, coming out my senior year in high school, I had the best jump. I had the best jump in the state of Texas in a triple jump. I jumped a 50 feet six. So basically that was my thing. Like, coach didn't really know I could run. I mean, he know I could run, but it was just like, hey, we need some people out here to do some field events. So I went out there and did the triple jump. Then after coach realized that I could run, he was like, hey, you doing that triple jump, that's going to mess up your knees. We need you to run. So yeah, we didn't have too many. We had Jordy, which I believe is Jordy's in the Hall of Fame. He was there. He did the shot put.
Yep. I remember him.
Jordy, and it was another young lady. I can't think of her name, which she's in the Hall of Fame as well. She threw the shot put. I can't think of her name off the top of my mind. But they both were seniors my freshman year.
Now, I got a funny story. A guy I went to college with, Jerry McAdams. Jerry's about 5'6". And the before Coach Thornton, there was a guy named Guy Shaw Thompson, who's the track coach there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard any stories about Guy Shaw. Nice old guy. He decided Jerry, all 5'6" of him, should be a javelin thrower. And, you know, you do run the javelin, you take it back, and you have to rear back. And at 5'6", he sticks a javelin in the back of the turf every time, you know. So,
oh, wow.
It just never quite worked out. But anyway, that's – But they never made their name in field events until just recently. I think they had that who was that girl they had up under it? That was Stephanie Wadsworth or Wordsworth or something like that. She was a pretty good discus or shot putter, if I believe.
And yeah, that's who I was saying. That's who I was talking about, Stephanie. Yeah, Stephanie. Stephanie was real good. Like I said, I want to say she's made it to the Hall of Fame as well. I could be wrong, but I want to say. Yeah. She's in there. So, yeah, TCU wasn't really known for nothing major but their sprints, long distance. We had a couple of people doing long distance, but like you said, as far as the pole vault and long jumps and things of that nature, in my area, it wasn't really that many people running. It was just sprinters, a couple of – Coach McKenzie, you know, he was over the distance. So, yeah, so that's basically it. With, like you said, no real field events. But like you said, now they have some – I want to say somebody at least got to top three in nationals in the long jump or something to that nature. So, yeah, now field events. They trying to – at this point right then, we weren't really trying to win the whole meet. We just wanted to win 4x1, 4x2. Now, you know, the whole goal is to try to win the whole indoor meet or the whole outdoor meet. So
yeah,
you have
exactly.
to have as many people as you can.
You need all the points you can muster for that. You got to have the field events to get that done. So, yeah, I remember that was – I think that was Eric Hyman who came in as AD, decided, you know, we need to transition from just a sprint school into a full-blown track program. And, you know, to his credit, he went out and got the money and raised it for that that new facility over there and then expand. I guess Coach Stratton had left by then. And I can't – what's the new coach? Is it Anderson?
Coach Anderson.
Yeah, and he's expanded it and brought along and took him over a full track team, which has been great. That's a beautiful facility, and, you know, it's just – it looks good out there.
Yeah. I wish we had that when I was there, because, you know, like I said, we always said we wanted a track meet. Even when they had the indoor meet out there at the Coliseum over there where they do the stockyards, those boards, indoor boards, was even trash. But like you said, we made it do what it do. So, but everything gotten better, you know. Football field, everything's gotten better. Each year it gets better. So, you know.
Yeah, do you come up at the end of the games anymore and see the football games?
Oh, yeah. I'm with Shannon, hanging with Shannon just about every home game I can get to. Like I say, I'm here in Dallas. So, you know, it's just a 40-minute drive up the street. So, for every home game, I try to make, as long as the weather's not too bad, I'll get out there and watch those guys.
Well, it's good. It's good to know Shannon's got at least one friend.
Oh, yeah. He got a couple in there. He got a couple out there.
No, Shannon's a good man. Shannon's a good man.
Hey, Prashant, do you guys still have the national record? Is that still holding up, or did it finally get broke?
No, well, we didn't have the my team didn't have the national record. I think we were number three. I think that class of 91, I think they had the record. I think they ran a 38-23 or something to that nature.
Right.
Something like that.
The Penn Relays record, I think, is still held by TCU, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think they hold the 4x1 and 4x2 record. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, TCU still have records all over. So that's good. Our team never was able to break them. But you know, we got pretty close though.
Yeah,
good deal.
Well, they didn't call you guys the Flying Frogs for nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
You guys were quick. Hey,
go ahead.
No, I was going to ask what attracted you to TCU? What was the main driving force to have you on campus?
Well, when I was being recruited, like I said, recruited for football, originally my whole goal was to go to Florida State. I wanted to play for Bobby Bowden. Like, oh, I got to go to Florida State. Got to go to Florida State. So being a local boy, you know, I was raised by a single mother. And I know if I would have went out of state, then she probably wouldn't have been able to attend as many games or, you know, go to any of my meets or whatever. So what I did was I started looking local. I know TCU had an awesome track team. So, but at the time, like I said, football was on the mind. So when I came in, I went blank. Coach Sullivan was my coach, but what was the coach before Sullivan? I went blank just like that.
Coach, head coach before Sullivan?
That would have been F.A. Dry.
Wacker. Yeah. Wacker was recruiting me. And so I end up, me and I visit Minnesota, and I got to Minnesota and was like, ain't no way in the world I'm coming out here.
Would you visit during the winter time or what?
Yeah. And I was like, ain't no way in the world I'm coming out here. But everybody's like, oh, well, we play inside. I was like, okay, yeah, but that's during the game. What about going to campus and all that other stuff? So
go between classes. That was my problem. I went and visited Michigan during the winter. Hell no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So visited TCU. I knew with the new coach, I had the probability of, you know, had a good chance of getting some playing time and he's possibly starting. So that was one of the reasons. And then, like I said, of course, they had a dynamic track team. So it was a no-brainer at that point.
Now, when you came in and played football, you were special teams, right, for that short period of time?
Well, yeah, I was special teams, but actually I played defensive back. So I started like 4 or 5 games my freshman year as a cornerback and diamond, then free safety. But then for the most part, they tried to move me to receiver and, you know, that didn't work out well. So, yeah, I was kind of back and forth doing it all, receiver, special teams, and, you know, defensive back as well.
So they didn't quite find a fit for you? Or how did you transition from football to mainly track?
Well, I told the coach that in order for me to play football, I was going to have to run track. So they had the understanding, you know, at least going in, that was the understanding that, okay, well, if you come here, we'll allow you to run track. So after my freshman year, you know, I went straight to, spring track, didn't do no spring ball and things of that nature. And when I came back, and you know, me and Coach Sullivan kind of didn't see eye to eye on my running track. He was like, I needed to go through spring ball and I was wasting my time. And I was like telling him, I was like, hey, if I'm gonna give my all for football, I'm gonna give my all for track. And I said, me doing spring ball, I wouldn't have never been able to accomplish what I accomplished because,
sure,
you know, just to be able to, I'm not being able to practice with the team, have to go through spring ball, hit and run and all that, and then try to go out to the track. It wouldn't have worked. So I think if Sullivan would have been a little bit more lenient, I think it would have worked out a little bit better. But, you know, I don't hold any grudges, not anymore anyway. I used to, but, yeah. You know, so it all worked out for me on the end for us on the track side. Not quite as well as the football end like I wanted to, but, you know, it still worked out.
Did you like football more than track?
I did, totally. Totally football. You know, I just like the brotherhood being with the guys. And like I said, I love to hit. And, you know, I felt that, you know, it was I was one of the better free safeties on the team. But I think Coach Sullivan was not necessarily he wasn't a team, you know, he was like what he says goes. So it wasn't like necessarily say, okay, well, this is the best player. Even if I disagree with him, you know, I'm not going to hold anything back. So he wasn't that type of coach. Still love the guy, but, you know, we had our differences.
So it's kind of like my way or the highway kind of a situation.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, he had that with a lot of players. We had a lot of great players back in 92 that voiced their opinion. And, you know, once they voiced their opinion, and, you know, sometimes you would see them on the sideline for a couple of plays or things of that nature. And I was just kind of like, oh, well, coach, you know, hey, we all grown men at this point. You know, if somebody says something, they say something. They don't necessarily mean it has to be like that. But, you know, but like I said, we still loved him. I still played. I mean, there was times where I didn't want to play anymore, but, you know, yeah. I stuck with it.
Makes you feel any better. You didn't miss much back in them days, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, because definitely when we had Sullivan, it was a losing season, you know, right. When you guys got Franchoni, right. It picked up.
Because mind you, I love for Sullivan. That's my guy. I love to death. I tell everybody I'm a Sully boy. You know, I'm a Sully boy. He came and got me personally. But we didn't want to win that first year, and I knew it wasn't nothing pretty before that.
Yeah, no.
So, true change didn't come until my sophomore year. So anyway, you didn't miss much, man.
No.
That last season of his. That's
yeah. Both you guys were right there at the cusp where TCU made a huge change and started to really kind of get back into funding the athletic department and figuring out, okay, we need to do something here. I mean, it's sad that we had to have the season, Shannon, that you had to go through, and of course, Rashawn, losing the track coach that was probably the best track coach in the country and not being able to pay for facilities, for the administration to finally just realize we got to do something here. And then, of course, we lost our conference as well on top of everything else. So,
You know, I thought one of the better football conferences is track. Like I said, before I got there, Arkansas had just left and went to the SEC.
Right.
And, you know, they were coming off of my freshman year, they were just coming off of like a 7-3 season. So, you know, everybody was expecting big things, you know, from TCU. But then, you know, once you get a new coach, things change. So didn't have a year, those couple of years we wanted. 94, we did end up getting to the Independence Bowl. And, you know, we had that whole four-way tie of the Southwest Conference. So, you know, we were able to say, well, hey, we were part of the Southwest Conference champs. And then, like I say, went to the Independence Bowl and played Virginia. We had one good year, and then also my freshman year, we only won two games, but one of those games was we beat Texas. So, you know, hey, that was good enough in itself. You know, if we didn't win not one game else, we beat Texas, and we was happy about that.
Hey, you know, we hadn't beat them what 25 years prior to that, so it was a long dry spell. Now we're beating them like a drum every year, but
every year is expected.
Up to that point, it'd been Arkansas, A&M, and Texas, we hadn't beaten had a long time. So right. That was a big deal. That pulled Sullivan out of the fire, I think. And
yeah,
but you know, I'm not sure he ever really wanted to be here. Nothing against Coach, but you know, I know he's been through hell and back with his bout with cancer, and
yeah, right.
And God bless him for that. He's fought it, and he's, you know, he's so far he's winning the battle. But you know, I'm not sure he ever really wanted to be here. I never sensed that sense of desire to really. I don't know. That's just me.
If you look back again at that era of TCU athletics, I don't think there was a whole lot making him want to be here.
I agree.
Building.
Because I know at one point in time, it was a rumor that he was going to go to LSU. So yep. LSU had been looking at him, and I think he kind of wanted to get to Louisiana or back a little further south. So, And like you said, I think once that didn't go through, it was kind of like, okay, well, I'm here, you know, let me just continue doing what I'm doing. So, but I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. The lesson learned in that is if a coach wants to leave, you need to let him leave because the heart may not be in it after that. And, right. I never sensed it, but, and also they didn't give him the facilities, in retrospect, I think the best thing that ever happened to TCU was just not getting into the Big 12. Because it forced us to take a hard, long, hard look at where we were, where we were going, and where we wanted to be, and make the adjustments necessary. And they did that, to their credit. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. Here we are.
Right. So what you guys think that the I didn't get to go to the spring game. Shannon, did you go to the spring game? How they looking?
Couldn't make it. I believe it was very cold that day.
But it was.
The spring game was nothing. I mean, which I knew it wouldn't be, especially in the cold, because it's too cold to be doing any kind of hitting. So Gary ran running clock, didn't do very many plays. I mean, he just let them, get after a little bit, had very quick whistles. But spring was a good spring. It was a success. It's going to be a battle, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who starts, you know, with that offensive line, you know, we're to see what they look like. We know we have running backs, we know we have quarterbacks, but what is that really going to look like? Because we've only seen Robinson play so many snaps, right. But you know how it is, you know, is he going to come out and have that first type of year that Boykins had the very first year, just being, because you have a lot of time to now play the game, or will he come out and truly use his experience and be able to lead a team to a championship. So we still have a lot of question marks. Do we have a great team? Yeah. I mean, on the roster, we have a lot of good recruits. We're still recruiting. It still looks good right now, right? We're comfortable. But, I mean, listen, like I said weeks ago, we're trying to win the Big 12 championship and get into the playoffs and make some noise. We've done everything else besides do that.
Yeah.
And so those are the steps we have to take. But like everybody else, I'm waiting for the first game to see what we look like, and then I can really break down some things.
Right. Yeah, because I know everybody's kind of wanting to see what Robinson doing, because, like I said, we know he have that arm. Like I said, just the last season, I know he got in, and he showed it. The accuracy wasn't there, but like you said, he hadn't been in there, so I'm just wanting to know if he got that accuracy down now so he can get it downfield and, get his end zone.
The headlines is TCU has a deep ball now.
Yeah.
He can deliver it. That's for sure.
Yep.
So we have people who can run and get it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see. We're going to be back to having a track meet on the football field. So.
But Chop, there could be room for you out there on that track meet now.
No, they're not. Yeah. I wouldn't get 5 yards left before I'm pulling up. I wouldn't get 5 yards before I pull a hamstring.
Yeah.
That's further than me, pal.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Hey, sorry about the audio, guys. I'm outside, and I guess some people decided to do some street racing and the cops decided to shut it down. So it was sorry about the sirens in the background if you heard that.
Hey, that's
all. I know we got the draft coming up here in Dallas. Do we have any prospects, Shannon?
Oh, man, ton of them. I think we had about 13 to 15 guys in the draft. I don't know where I've been looking at some stuff today, but they only cover like first rounds today. I don't know if we have any first through three. We may have a couple in third round, but Then we have some late round guys for sure. But TCU's been good at putting in guys every year. They've been getting in the camp. I mean, it just is what it is now. It's good to see. So, I mean, year in, year out, we've got 5 to 10 guys in the league. So we have some receivers, Takata and, some linemen. I mean, we have quite a few people. Don't have a list in front of me, but we have quite a bit that I think will at least get in the camp, whether they stick or not. That's a hard thing to do.
Right.
We have a handful of guys that will get in the camp.
And a lot of them seem like they're offensive linemen. Joseph Noteboom, Patrick Morris, Austin Schlotman. Those three are all, I think, big, versatile, strong, fast. I mean,
Morris will make a team somewhere, and I think Tejada will as well.
Tejada will, and they'll make it. They'll make it somewhere. You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's a fun time of the year for those guys. I remember being back there, you know, 2000. You know, it's the most our senior class was the most in TCU history at the time to be in the NFL draft. We had a ton of people by senior. Obviously, we have an LT and Shovel, and you know, we had a lot of people there. But now it's every year.
It's expected to see somebody going in draft. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we're kind of coming to the end here of our broadcast, but Prashant, I got one quick question for you.
Okay.
Now that you've made the Hall of Fame, what does that mean to you?
Oh man, it's so humbling. I mean, you know, you go and I tell people, it's like, hey, how does it feel? It's like, man, you know what? I just wanted to play. I just wanted to run. Never did I think of anything for as a Hall of Fame, you know. But for them to say that I made it, actually the thing is, and Shannon knows, one good thing about it before all this, back in 2000 or whatever, somewhere up in there, you know, they opened up the college thing out there in Waco, the Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame, and they got a Southwest Conference section. And, you know, they picked my name and my picture to go into the track and field. So, I mean, you know, that left its own. You know, I say people's like, hey, man, I saw you down there in Waco, your name, your picture and stuff in the College Hall of Fame. And, you know, so me and my mom visit that. And, you know, that right there was like, hey, that's the best honor, man. It's like people's like, out of all the TCU greats, myself, and Jordy, I think it's somebody else is pitching there. So, you know, I was like, hey, couldn't nothing get no better than that. But then for them to say, hey, man, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's like, wow. You know, when I go and look on that wall, well, when it used to be in the gym and look on the wall, now it's, you know, in the new gym, it's like, hey, man, this is something. My name is going to be there. That's a legacy. So it's nothing. It's hard to explain, but very just grateful and humble because I know a lot of great runners have come out of TCU. And for them to, you know, say, hey, we're going to put you with these guys, hey, that's the best feeling. And like I said, from here all the way up until September, I'm going to be smiling.
You should be. You're well-deserved. And that you are in some fast company, pardon the pun there, with that with some of those great sprinters. Because they are, I mean, that's a list that's long and distinguished right there. And,
right.
And your name deserves to be in there amongst them.
Thank you. Well, bro, thank you.
Celebrate your success. I'm in Vegas. I'm going to do it the right way for you. So I'm going to go into my little black box here. Pull out.
Look at you.
I'm going to pull out a 30-year-old tobacco, Sublime, given to me by Johnny Collins. And I'm going to walk downstairs. I'm going to have this on your behalf, brother. So
all right.
Man, real talk. I'm proud of you, Newt. And I can't wait to have some fun with you guys come September.
That thank wouldn't you, be an man. Illegal Cuban cigar, would it?
It looked like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Shannon and Zan.
Sean, call those pops back.
Just know that it's the real deal. Shout out to Johnny Collins, community national title. But I'm doing this.
Nice travel humidor there.
Right.
You know,
that's a lot bigger than the little cigarillo I'm smoking tonight.
Real.
Wondering what I was smoking. That itty bitty little thing.
You know, Shannon, your Frogcast brothers here would like a cigar too.
When you get back in town, Shannon, I'll let me.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm with you. I promise you, tailgate time will be fun this year.
Okay. I'm holding you to it. You guys heard it.
Yeah, I heard it here. So we'll be looking for you. Definitely, Shannon, when you get back in town, man, give me a call so we can hook up, brother.
No doubt. For sure.
Well, before the entire Arlington Police Department is at my doorstep, I have no idea what's going on over there. But We've come to the end of the broadcast. Brashad, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate the time you spent here. And again, like what Wes said, just like to say that again, man, you well deserved. You and pretty much a lot of those guys from that era deserve all the accolades and the recognition that you guys are receiving. And man, the Flying Frogs are a thing of legend, and we are all very proud of you. And I know looking back that college kid who was just told by coach, it's my way or the highway, thinking, man, I got to pick one or the other. I know now looking back, you're like, man, I made the right decision. And we're
made
all
the right decision.
Did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, man, thanks for coming on. Again, congratulations on making the Hall of Fame. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs. That's @killer_frogs. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/killerfrogs. Of course, you can always go on killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time we get the frogs up, and we all get to say,
go frogs.
Go frogs.
All right, yo. Appreciate you, brother, for coming on, man.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Enjoy that smoke, Shannon.
Thank you. Hey.
That'll keep you busy for a couple hours.
Yeah, don't have too much fun in Vegas.